Well, and desire your prayers. Scripture says that it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. And I found that to be true. I think there's a lot of things that human beings can do. But directing his own steps in the ways of righteousness, the way of right, it's not within him to do it. And really, in a lot of ways, it's not even within man to direct himself in natural things. Without God's help, really, men make a pretty big flop of the whole thing. And, you know, there's been people that, oh, there's all kind of ways, isn't there? People try to find out how to deal with the future. Astrology. You know, people, I don't know how they can, but they do. Maybe there's some evidence somewhere of it, but there's people that look into the alignments of the heavenly bodies, and they line it up and do certain things, and they'll say, well, you ever read horoscopes? You ever hear of those? And what it does, it selects out the 12 different whatever the zodiac signs and what you are and the alignments of the planets and the way the forces of gravity and all that, I suppose, the way that all pulls on the cosmos, and then it somehow affects your life, and somebody will come up and predict that if you're of a certain sign, well, then today would be a good day for you to strike out in business. It'd be a good day for you to strike out in romance. It'd be a good day for you to do this. And honestly, I guess just by the law of averages, they'd have to be right sometime. And because that's exaggerated, people think there's something to that. But why that's prominent is because people can't direct their own steps, and they know they can't direct their own steps, and they're looking for some way of being able to find out something that they can't know for themselves. And therefore, they give themselves to many things like that. Witches, for instance, you remember where when Saul got completely put out and the Lord completely put him out and he had no way of contacting a true source, he went to the witch of Endor. And then she was some kind of what? Well, they say a diviner? Some way of calling up the spirits and call out and some direction. Saul recognized that he needed to know something that was in the future that he couldn't know, some response. How am I going to respond to this? I need to know how to respond to it. And so he called on a witch to try to do that. Well, how accurate is that going to get you? The devil is the liar from the beginning. You don't need to go ask the devil anything, because the devil's going to lie to you. He's going to make it look just as good as he can, and he don't care about half-truths, myth-truths. He don't care about a little fraud. He wants to lie to you, and he wants to throw you off course. So there's all kind of things, even down to, and I suppose it's just for fun. I don't think anybody really says that there's anything to it, but we go to the Chinese restaurant every once in a while, and at the end of it, they bring you these little packs of, I don't know if you've ever been there, but inside they call them fortune cookies, and it's almost impossible to eat one, so it must be more to it than to eat the cookie, or at least maybe you eat them. I don't, there are hardly anything to them as far as eating them, but they bring them to you kind of as a reward for you coming, I suppose, and inside there, it's a fortune cookie, and inside there, there's a little information for you in there about life. You get I suppose many people are probably distraught or needing answers or in that, may even say, this is going to be my answer right here to some some problems or some questions that I have about life. And they crack open this cookie and it says something like, you know, this is your day. Or watch out. Beware. There's bad things ahead for you, so keep your head ducked. Those kind of things. And the reason those things exist in our life is because we feel that, don't we? We feel the need of the uncertainties of things. We need to know how to do these kind of things, and we don't know. But there is one that knows, folks. There is one that knows all things. There is nothing hid from this one that knows. He knows, I believe, he knows the end from the beginning. The scripture says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He knows the whole scope of it. I believe today that you and I serve a God that knows what tomorrow holds. We sang the song about one day at a time. Sure, Lord, help me one day at a time, because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm confident of this. There is one that knows. There is one that knows. Now, I want to look at a scripture just starting off. It's in Genesis. Very familiar scripture. All about third verse, I think, or chapter. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Did God say that you can't eat of every tree of the garden? Well, what did he say? God did say something, didn't he? God said something that was pretty precise in what he had said. He told him, you can eat of all the trees. But the devil came in. And this is one of the points that I want you to most get today is that all the way back from the beginning, the devil was toying with what God said. And he has to. This is a place that if you and I know what the Lord said, folks, you can write it out. There is no doubt, there is no variance in it, there is no point of changing in what God has said will forever stand. There is no variance in it, and from the beginning, the devil came in to the mind of Eve and tried to play around with what God said. And he's still playing around with it today. He still comes in the same notion to try to confuse, try to bring a doubts and all those things about what God said. Now, Eve knew very well what God said. But the devil started mixing it up. God didn't say that. What did God say? God said that you can't eat of the trees of the garden. He did say something like that. He said that you can eat of all the trees of the garden. But there is one. And see how the devil starts maneuvering what God said, because what God said was very, very important in this whole thing, because it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. We're getting counsel from somewhere. Something's going to have to sum that. Eve could have sat back and said, I'm hearing voices in my head. I don't know what to do. So let's line the stars up in a certain way here and see what they tell us to try to get information here. There's no Chinese restaurants here for fortune cookies now. So how am I going to know what's been said? God said that you can eat of all the trees. And Eve quoted this back to him. But the devil didn't stop with that in the what God had said. So now he starts saying what God meant.
Yeah.
Well, now you know the wording, Eve. You got the wording down pat. The wording, Eve come back and said, no, I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He said, not to eat of we could eat of all the trees of the garden, but the one that's in the midst of that we're not to eat of it, neither touch of it. So the devil comes in with another tactic, because it was really important about him dealing with what God said. So he starts dealing with it and said, that's not what the truth is. That's not what it means here. Lord, help us today to get the real value and how important it is. I think that you and I ought to reverence. It oughtn't be something to play with, to speak lightly of, or to say it out of turn, or to say it in a light way, the Lord said. Because if the Lord said something, folks, it's eternal. It cannot fail. Understand this. It can't fail what the Lord said. It is that important. It is absolutely that important that we know that what the Lord has said cannot fail. Now there's another scripture I want to look at. It's in 1 Kings. It's the story of Ahab. We know quite a bit about him. And in the 22nd chapter, 1 Kings, Ahab, the setting here is that Ahab had got, who was it, Jehoshaphat? And got him together. Ahab was king of Israel. Jehoshaphat's king of Judah. They make an alliance here together, and they're going to go up and take Ramoth of Gilead. They go up, they want to go and take it from king of Syria. And so they want to go to battle. And so now they call on... this is the situation. They didn't know what the outcome was going to be. You never can know with that kind of stuff going into a battle. Am I going to lose something here in this? Well, what's really important to know is what the Lord thinks about it. Now, you know, that's very important. It's important today to know what God thinks about this situation. So they come here, and you can look at it as I go along with it, my memory. But they come up, and Jehoshaphat, he's a little bit more timid about the whole thing than Ahab is, and he says, what's God say about the whole thing? Well, let's call the prophets. So they call in, I don't know, hundreds of them, I think. If my memory's right, there was about 400 of these guys. Anyway, they come in. They wasn't that many, but you can read it there. They come in, and they say, okay, what's the Lord say? What's the Lord say about this? Because we're going to go up there and hazard the life of the people. We're going to hazard our own lives. We're going to go up there and wonder if we're going to have gain or not. You know, that's a legitimate thing to know. Lord, you're going to be on our side with this or not? Well, these prophets all say, the Lord said. The Lord said. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Lord said. When the Lord says, questions is gone. When the Lord says it, it's over. You can bank on it. That's absolutely the truth. What God says will come true. These prophets said, the Lord said, go up, for the Lord will give them into your hand. Well, then we can know, right? I mean, 400 or whatever it was, a great multitude of prophets, and they all said the same thing. But Jehoshaphat says, well, there ain't even a debate over this. These guys are all together on this and all that. I'd have liked to, at least one said, well, I heard it a little different so that we could question. That's my mind what he's thinking. There's a little doubt in his mind. He says, is there anybody else that we can ask? Yeah. And Rahab says, yeah, there's another fella all right. But I ain't asking him. Because that fella always prophesies against me. As if he had the power to change things. Folks, our words don't mean anything. I can stand up here and tell you what's going to happen, all how it's going to be, and it doesn't mean a thing. And Ahab was thinking because this guy said something, it was going to come true. This prophet didn't have any ability to change the circumstances. But Ahab said, I want to call him because he always prophesies against me. So he says, let's call him. call him on what was his name, Micaiah. Micaiah comes in and he says, "Now you tell us what the Lord said." Now he fawned around with him a little bit. "You tell us what the Lord said, and you don't say anything but what the Lord said." Well, you just go on up there then. Just be like the rest of them. And he said, "I told you, don't you tell us not a word but what the Lord said." So the prophet then says, "You go up there." And the people's going to be like sheep without a shepherd. And they're going to all run to their own camp. And he prophesied to them there that you will not win the battle, thus saith the word of God. This is what the Lord said. And I'm bringing this out to make this as a very, this is sacred, folks. This is something that is meaningful. This is something that we can bank on. It's important to us what the Lord says. It is so important to us that the Lord said this. And Ahab goes on with it and said, "Did I not tell you that this man was going to prophesy evil against me? So you take him and you throw him in a dungeon and you feed him on the bread of affliction." And what was it? And the water of adversity or something, "until I come back and then I'll deal with him." The prophet says, "If you come back, the Lord has not spoken by my mouth." Now I'm going to tell you, that is that absolute, folks. The word of God is that absolute. And all through the Old Testament time, in their dealing with the word of God, the truth, it was very, very important of how they said things. This was important when somebody said, when the prophet stood up and said, "Thus saith the word of God." It was so very important because this was what people could hinge themselves on. If the Lord come and said to them by the mouth of the prophet, and they prophesied that the Lord said, "If you'll repent, if you'll turn from your wickedness, I'll accept you back and be your..." That was important. That was important when the Lord said, "If you go the way you're going, I'm going to send pestilence to you." That was important. It was important what the Lord had said in these times. So Lord, help me today. I've had this burden, and I pray that the Lord would bring it out in a way that would be really beneficial to our lives. Because I don't know whether to put an exclamation mark on this or a question. Because that's the way it appears to me so often. We say, "The Lord said," and I say, "The Lord said? Did he say that?" Folks, it's not something to lightly say by some inspiration or some thought of my mind that the Lord said. I recently was in a meeting, and somebody said, was talking about a situation, and they up and said, "The Lord told me." And I said, "The Lord?" In my heart, in my mind, I said, "The Lord told you that?" I have great questions, folks, to whether the Lord said that. But that brother was hinging so much of his experience in life on it, because the Lord said it. See, this is the truth. This is so important and so valid that the only way I can say it is it's kind of in a worldly way of saying it, but it has to do with card games. It trumps it. In other words, do you know that this expression trumps all counsel? It trumps all counsel. It trumps everything. It trumps everything. When we believe the Lord said, I cannot counsel you out of that, because this takes preeminence. Should we obey God or man? God. Always God. And when we say, "The Lord said," I'm going to tell you an expression that ought to be said very rarely. God, the Lord said. Because it's that important and valid and that sacred to us. That when you stand up and say, the Lord said. Now, if you come in and say, the Lord told me to put the beans on at 2 o'clock. I can live with that, right? It doesn't matter. But when you start coming with important life issues and said, the Lord said.
Yeah.
You better be right, brother. It's that important to those that look on. And the word that you say, I'm going to challenge you with this thought. Because in the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is not take the Lord, thy God's name, in vain. Now we say if you use and that expression God with another term some way, that's cursing is vanity. And it is. It's taking it with no purpose or use. But do you know the real meaning of that scripture was not that? The real meaning of that scripture was when people would say in an oath, I swear to the Lord, or say the Lord said it was going to rain today after tomorrow. That's vanity. If it doesn't happen, folks, that's using the Lord's name in a way that does not glorify God, and it's vain, it's empty. And that is breaking one of the Ten Commandments when we use the Lord's name that way. We need to be very careful. I know a man that told me in a discussion we had, he said, him and his family, they said that a man ought to have a beard. Ought to have a beard. All right, there's a debate going to start. I say you'll have a hard time proving that in the scripture. The only scripture that I know of was the 50th of Isaiah that said they plucked the hairs, and it was a prophecy of the Lord that talked about plucking facial hairs or something like that off the Lord. Other than that, you don't have a lot to say. And then he trumped me. The Lord said. The Lord told me that a man ought to have a beard. And he wears a beard. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. He'll have to do it for the rest of his life. Or he's going to have to make God wrong. Or even harder in most people's thinking, he's going to have to make him wrong. You know that if we're not careful, folks, we put ourselves into a box and into a bondage about the things that the expressions we feel. We've had an expression, and all of a sudden, I remember some of the, Lord help us, I don't mean it to be comical, but sometimes it's absolutely comical. Of what people say the Lord said. They'll look on a circumstance, an observation of their eyes, and they'll look on that and they'll see it a certain way, and they'll misjudge it completely. Then they'll come to you and say, the Lord told me to tell you something. Yeah. Oh, what the tell. I remember back my first wife, she was young growing up. She had a beautiful voice and very talented musically, and she was done that. And I remember after we got married, there was a guy that was kind of a cousin to hers. He was a preacher or something. Anyway, he comes to her and he gives her, the Lord told me to tell you something. I wanted to warn you against Nashville. It was a joke for years after that. He had an observation and a thought. She's got that kind of talent. She's going to try to end up in the music business somewhere or another. He come and said, the Lord said that I was to warn you about Nashville, that you have to be real careful if you pursue something like that. She had never no mind of it, no whatsoever, and the Lord didn't tell him that. The Lord didn't tell him no such thing that had nothing to do with our lives whatsoever. But he thought it. He thought that this was something. I'm going to tell you, think about the story of Daniel. There come a time that the king of Babylon, he had a dream. And the dream disturbed him. So he wakes up and he knows he's disturbed. But he can't remember what disturbed him. But he knew that it was something that was outstanding. So he does the obvious. Call the astrologers. We're going to line up some stars now. We're going to get some. Line up all the soothsayers, what they call them, the diviners, everybody that can know something of some force. Some ability to be able to tell me what this was. Well, they said, all right, we can tell you. give us a clue. Give us a hint. And he said, I want you to tell it, but, well, tell us the dream, we'll interpret it. Indeed, I don't know the dream. So you tell me the dream and interpret it, or you're frauds. You're phonies. You know, that's the way we look at things. I can interpret your folks' dreams. Tell them to me. I'll tell you what they mean. Easy. Tell you easy what they mean. See? But he said, I don't know what the dream is. All right, this is a challenge. Said, you got a certain time? All of you, gone. Frauds. It comes to Daniel. And Daniel says, he's one of these wise men. He says, hold off a minute. King, who can know a dream? Who's had a dream? Or the interpretation of it. Nobody can do that. But you hang on, because I know somebody that does. Yes. I know somebody that knows. And he went before the Lord, the one that knows, the giver of dreams and the interpretation thereof. And he went before the Lord and he got the word. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. When he come back and started the story, I think the king was sitting there going, yes, I remember it. I remember that detail. Go on. A little more. Yes, that was in there. It's always right. He's always right, folks. It's not wrong. He's right. And he come and it proved. What did it prove? It proved that there was a God in heaven. That's what it proved to the king. The king even said that the God of Daniel is God. He is God. He knows what tomorrow holds. Yes. Lord, help us today to get a hold of the value of what the Lord did say. Now, I want to say this today. I'm not trying to put a blanket. The Lord's not saying that. God does talk to our hearts. He's talked to me many, many times. I have said the Lord spoke to me many times. But I'm going to tell you better, be very careful about making predictions of what God, the Lord, said. The Lord does deal with us and works with us. And don't say that I can't say that anymore. No, that because the Lord does deal with us. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord give us a volume that's absolutely the truth. When I start looking into what the Lord said, I'm going to tell you something the Lord said. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I can tell you today, the Lord has said. Yes. And you don't have to say, the Lord said? No, the Lord said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you to the end, even to the end of the world. I can anchor on that. The Lord positively said that. Yes. Have you ever been discouraged by what the Lord was supposed to have said? The Lord said. I had somebody tell me when my first wife was sick and dying that the Lord said, told me he was going to heal her. Folks, he didn't. He didn't. And I'm going to tell you something else. He didn't. He didn't say that. He didn't say it. We'll be much healthier. But that's the burden of my heart. I want to see us healthy spiritually. We would be much healthier if we put a real sacred view to that term. The Lord said. The Lord said. That is, I want to tell you, when I get in my hardest times, I'm desperate for it. Yes. The Lord said. That's what he wants. The Lord said this to me. This is why I know that it's more valuable that the Lord hears my prayer than to answer them. I know it's better off than for me to know that my life is in the hands of God. It's more important than the outcomes of anything, isn't it? Oh, yeah. That I may know, Lord, if I but touch you, I know that it's going to be well no matter what you decide. Yes. I know that. That's right. I am desperate to know. I want to know what the Lord said. And sometimes, you know what He says? Peace be still. I know the Lord can. I know He said that. He said it in the Word. There's other times that the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I know He said that. He said that. The Lord said that. But all the times. Now, I'm going to put everybody in a bondage here. Men anyway. Well, women can be excused from this one. But all you men's got to have a beard or you're effeminate. That's what He told me. The Lord said it. Well, throw the razors away. Argument's over when the Lord... I had a lot to say in the back and forth to convince and to talk with an honest heart about what it could be or couldn't be. And He shut me off by saying the Lord said. I have had so many people that done that in a course of an argument that said the Lord said. And that ends it all. And it ends for them forever the ability to get the truth in their heart. Because they said the Lord said. And then that's it. When the Lord told you to do that, you're not supposed to eat pork. The Lord told me not to eat pork. Then, brother, from now till you leave out of here, you stay away from the bacon. Because the Lord said. And then it's almost impossible for a person to look with confidence at somebody when the Lord so told me this. And you're breaking it. Because the Lord said. I had a fella tell me that the Lord told him that it was wrong to chew chewing gum. I said, well, what's wrong with chewing gum? It's worldly. Well, that's abstract. That's kind of abstract. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, listen, when I was in the world, chewing gum went right along with drinking whiskey. We'd drink whiskey, then we'd chew gum. I said, I never drank whiskey, and I chewed gum. I had a lot to say about it, but I got cut off. You know where I got cut off at? The Lord said. The Lord told me that this is what was done. I'm going to tell you, this thing about what the Lord said is very valuable to us. But it is also very sacred.
That's right.
I am not against it. And I'll tell you, a preacher gets up and says, the Lord said, I'm going to listen. But I've been so numbed. And I'm going to say this, and I hope you get it right. This is what the Word of God says. He says, if a prophet comes and prophesies and it is not fulfilled, it calls him a false prophet. That's the scripture. And the point of it is that God is absolutely true. God doesn't play with you and I politically, like a political game. He doesn't play with head games. God is a God of absolute truth. And what God says is absolutely true and unchanging. And if the Lord says this is what it's going to be, then that's what it's going to be. And if you'll follow this, when the Lord told Caleb that, I'm going to tell you, when the Lord told Caleb that all this land that you, wherever your feet goes, it's yours. Do you know the Lord said that? And that He could say, do you know that's why? He had the ability to say, give me that mountain.
Yes.
Because the Lord said. And I can bank on it, that's mine. That's why the Lord was so disappointed in the faithlessness of these people. Because He had told them that this land is yours. By a promise of Abraham. Everything that they knew as a people had come through the promise of Abraham. It was theirs by right, and they come up to the point of having to get it, and their faith failed them at what the Lord said. We don't have to fail at what the Lord says. We can march right on in. This is what the Lord said. You may say, that's a little abstract. How do I know then what the Lord says? I say this, better be very careful about what the Lord says. And the proclamations that's made. All the Lord said is, some people just, Lord told me this, Lord told me that. And I know the Lord talks to me. And I say those same expressions. And I have no problem with it until it comes into these kind of places. The Lord said that we need to do this, this, this. Or the Lord said. Oh, there was another incident up home. I don't want to fault anybody. I just want to bring this out. I think it's so valuable for our health. Someone was sick and dying up home. Some ministers came and positively proclaimed. The Lord said. The Lord told us to come up here. The Lord told us he's going to be healed. All right now. I don't want to get anything too sensitive. Lord help me. But I want us to be healthy.
Yes, that's for us.
And a great show was showed. Everything was put in order to the point that the one that was sick even reacted to it. Yes. And got up and went to the service. But it wasn't healed. And I have a great question. No, I don't. The Lord didn't say it. It's just the truth. The Lord didn't say it. And we're prone to mistakes. And we're prone to failures. And we're prone to not understanding. The three Hebrew children came before the time that the trumpet sounded and the music was all going. You remember that? Here's the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before the idol, before the king, and all the people of the court. And they were men that was there. God had worked in their lives. God had told them things. God had worked in their lives. And there come to a point that they had to say what they believed. And you know what they said? With very much care. They said, we're not careful in answering the king. King, we're not bowing. It's wrong. I have no doubt about it. We're not doing it. But I want you to notice the answer that they had concerning what the Lord said. The Lord will deliver us, but if not, I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said. But if not, he's still God. He's able to deliver us in any way. He will deliver us. But if he does, I'm careful. Why were they careful? Because it's too important to say what the Lord. What if they had said, the Lord's delivering us. The Lord said that. And the Lord decided we're going to let you burn up in this. And we're going to use your name for being a martyr down for. What? God was wrong? No. They were wrong. But they weren't wrong because they had a great respect to use God's name. Oh, Lord, help us today. A twofold message is here today, not to be lightly with God's name, but exalt God's name. God is absolutely true. Brother, when we get that from the Lord, you can't stand. Many people stood on it, didn't they? Abraham's faith was in what God told him. God told him that, and his faith was in it, and he held on to it and didn't see any of it. But by faith, God recognized him as the father of faith because he had faith in what God had told him and was able to go on through that, but he did not take it lightly. I'm going to tell you, I believe that Daniel, after his fasting and after his praying and after his visitation of the Lord, could stand boldly and proclaim, couldn't he, that the Lord said, this is what your dream is. This is how it is. Oh, Elijah come down to the time, did he not? There at the battle, there at the Carmel with the other prophets, and there with the great sacrifice and all that. Oh, he just called upon the Lord. Lord had sent him there. It's time for this. But this is what's going to happen. And with confidence, Lord, that Israel may know, that all the world may know that you're God and I'm your servant. And it came just true as it can be. It came. I think also of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was king. The enemy came on Hezekiah. All these things. It was such a battle there at that time. People could say this. People could say that. Prophets say this. All these prophets predicting all these things. He took that letter and went before the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, you say all kinds of things, but what do you say?
Yes.
Lord, what do you say about the matters of our lives? I'm going to tell you, we look to so many ways, so many things. When we get desperate, I'm going to tell you this in the fear of the Lord. I want us to be healthy. And when somebody gets in a troubled time, when their emotions are about to break, when they don't know that they can take, go on, the true Word of God is too valuable to play with. And it's too important to come trivially, just meaninglessly, and say, the Lord said. Oh, Lord, help us. Because healing is in His Word. Healing is in, and help and hope is all in His Word. But the devil challenged it from the start. And I'm telling you, he's challenging it right now. And he's saying things, and man, people believe things, and by observation, looking at things, and seeing things, and twisting what the Lord says. And he's trying, and he's hurting people, and he's calling them not to be strong in faith, because I've seen it over and over and over, and Lord help me if I sit here and tell you, I can tell you over and over of people that come to me, goodwill, and good meaning, and trying to lift my spirits, and said, the Lord said. And he didn't say it. And I'm looking for something of hope and of encouragement of all this. And it was there. There it was. The Lord said. Hallelujah. The Lord said. And he didn't say it. Oh, Lord, help us. It's damaged oh so many times, folks. For this setting, Lord, help you and I. Because the Lord does speak.
Yes, he does.
He does. But I'm going to tell you where he speaks most prominent. He speaks in his word. I'm going to tell you, I'm charismatic enough to say the Lord speaks by his spirit. Because I've had him do it. I had him most of the time, not in prophecy, but encouragement and hope in dealing with me. He speaks. He does to help us to know where to go and when to do by inspiration. I remember a time, well, it was Marty, my oldest son. He was sick. And he was always a little boy that would say, pray for me, Daddy. And so he said, Daddy, pray for me. And he was laying on the couch, and I come in and I prayed, and I didn't feel no inspiration. I didn't feel anything but a duty to pray. And I prayed for him and asked the Lord to have mercy on him, and it didn't do any good much. And a few moments later, he said, Daddy, pray for me. And I got down and I prayed for him again, and it was again a dutiful prayer. I didn't really feel nothing. And I got up and from that prayer and I walked in, and when I got into the kitchen, the Lord spoke to me by inspiration. And he said, pray again. That's all it was. It was the Lord. He spoke, pray again. And do you know, when I turned, there was something happened in me. And when I turned, it wasn't like the other two times. Folks, I was inspired all over. God had told me, I'm going to work. I'm going to do something. And I went in there with inspiration. And got down and prayed a simple little prayer. But it was just full. It was full. And do you know the Lord touched him? I knew he would. I knew he would. I ain't felt that before. Got a call last night to pray for Brother Ed. And I got down and inspiration come onto me for a touch. I wasn't surprised that he got a touch. Because I felt an inspiration. God does work with us in these things. Probably most everybody here knows Sister Inman. A few years ago, she had got real bad, and it looked like she was going to die. The Lord didn't tell me anything about it. But I was down praying one time. And when she was down, looked like she was going to go. And the inspiration filled me that she's going to have good days. And you know, I saw her at Monarch that year. I said, Sister Inman, the Lord told me, didn't tell me he's going to heal your take. He told me he's going to have good days. And you know what? She said, that's exactly what I'm having. Some good days. Do you know the Lord does inspire in our hearts? He does work in our hearts. But I want to tell you, I'm very careful with that. It's not a part. Folks, it is. There is a part of prophecy. But be very careful with those words. Because I want to see us deal with, this is the reality. We all want to be healed. But the Lord don't always heal. We all want to come out of our trials. But the Lord don't always get us out of our trials when we want to. And there's times that the Lord's work is really to have that one come and say, be encouraged, brother. The Lord be with you. that the Lord's going to be with you all the way. There's times that the Lord wants to deal with issues in people's lives. And he wants the privilege to do it. And the devil wants to try to change what the word is. The Lord came to Paul and said, "My grace is sufficient to you." I wonder how many brothers come up to say, "Paul, I know you're suffering. The Lord told me to tell you so." "Lord told me to tell you if you would do this and this, you're free of your trouble. Lord told me to lay hands on you and you're going to be healed of this thorn in the flesh. The Lord said all that." The Lord said? Did he really say all that? And you can go through all the scriptures, especially those Old Testament scriptures, and you look at the prophets, the false prophets, was always there, wasn't they? They were always there too. It's always been a question in my mind how to label it. Because I think good saints do it. Have been caught up in it. And I wouldn't ever condemn them for it. But I'm going to say, Lord, help us to be healthy today. Lord, help us to be whole all the way through. And not have this element. A few years ago, it was back when I was first saved. There was a group there that I was associated with when I first got saved. And there was a certain preacher in there that taught revelations. Their view of revelations. This was about 1987. He made a bold prediction that in 1996 it's going to roll up. It's going to be the end of all of it. And he had his times right, and he made his predictions, and he made his statements, the Lord said. This is 2009. This is 2009, and you know what he did? He said, because it's 87, and I'm talking about 96. It's 9 years. 9 years. Got time to go through, got time to say that stirred people up. People was packing their pantries. People was getting their stuff ready for this tribulation. All these things that he was saying come forth. There's only one trouble. It didn't happen. And the Lord don't make mistakes. For people to up and say, and you all know it too. How many times has the cause been affected? I'm saying in this world, scoffed at. And rightfully so, of people that proclaimed, "Lord's coming back. Lord's coming back in 1980. Remember the Big Brother thing and all that deal? 1980, Lord's coming back. Yeah, sure, you can say that in 65. But wait till 79 and a half and start claiming. You see what I'm saying? Well, I just put it out there. The devil's messing with the word. The devil's messing with what the Lord says. Another guy was saying that Halley's Comet was coming by out there in California a few years ago. And the tail of that comet was going to be the end of all. And as these people got ready and they was killed themselves so they could be caught in the tail of that thing. They weren't caught in the tail of anything. And the Lord didn't say it. But he said the Lord did. Lord told him that. That sounds far out and wild, don't it? But do you know we can say the same kind of things in things that matters a lot more because it's much more subtle and deals with our lives that the Lord said that? Lord, help us today. That we be careful. That we would take the Lord's name and lift it up to be holy, and what he says is absolutely right and it will always pan out to be right. And Lord, I am so fearful. I am so fearful of your word. I'm going to handle it with much, much caution in my life. And I'm going to tell you what I think. What I'm telling you has affected our congregation greatly. And it may have affected yours too. And the Lord wants us to be healthy when it comes to this point in what the Lord is dealing with us about. And I'm going to tell you, you do that, and there won't be that mistake of what the Lord said. It will be right. And the Lord, I have said many times, and I think it's a good policy, Lord, lead me by desire. Lord, help me to desire that you want. And when it comes to, Lord, should I go to a meeting or I shouldn't go to a meeting? And should I do that or should I do that? Well, the Lord said. Okay, you can say that. It don't hurt me any. But I say, Lord, lead me by desire. Help, give me that inspiration that I'm so comfortable with. Lord, I know when you inspire me. Lord, inspire me to do that. Inspire me for the meeting. Lord, give me that. Give me the extra witness. And one more story before I close. There was a brother in the Bible, I believe it was Gideon. And Gideon had a question before the Lord. Wasn't he? And he had a question. So he said, "Lord, if you want me to do such and such, why, I'm going to lay this fleece out." Now, Lord, this is what I desire. "Why?" "Because it's important, Lord. That's why. I hear things in my mind and I hear all, I don't know. I know you can speak, but Lord, here's a fleece. Now you cause when I get up for the ground to be wet all the way around it and this fleece dry. And I'll know you want me to do it." Sure enough, that's the way it was. Now you know what Gideon did? Bless his heart. He said, "Lord, forgive me and have mercy on me. But I need something else." Now that's good. That's pretty good. But he said, "Would you give me something else? Lord, now have mercy on me. Don't take us as unfaithful here or lacking in faith or diminishing what you do. It's not. Lord, it's me. It's me. I'm human, and I don't know if you're going to deliver me or not. But I know you're always right, and I want to know what to do to be right with you. So I'm going to lay this out again." I may have it backwards, but I'm going to lay it out again. "And this time you cause it to be wet and the ground dry. Now have mercy on me, Lord." And you know what? The Lord was more than pleased to go ahead and do it again because there was an honest soul that wanted to know what he said. You know, it would be a real good policy. All of a sudden I'm looking, I'm seeing events and I'm seeing people act a certain way, and all of a sudden this voice comes into me, "You need to go tell them. Lord told me." You know, it'd be real good for me to stop and say, "Lord, I heard something. Can you put it to me another way? Can you, Lord, I'm fearful. I'll be honest, I'm just fearful of your word. I don't want to proclaim it and it not be, I don't want to be guilty of the vanity of it. So Lord, help me to know what you want me to do. Instead of being rash and rush off and do and say and do all that, Lord, help me as your servant to have a hearing ear. And I want to know for sure. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you got something to say, I'll hear you. But would you please do it in fasting and prayer? Would you do it really with the consequences of what you may do by it not being right? Because it's that important for our health as a body of people and as individuals. That God has been seen in this, because it's more important to me to see God in it than be healed. I'm going to tell you. It's more important for me to see my loved one, to know the glory of God's there, than to see him healed. It's more important for me in my own life to see the glory of God there than the healing or the proclamation that you're making. I want to see God. It's more important. And that's where the health comes in. Right. Lord, may we see you.
It doesn't diminish your faith.
And it doesn't, Brother Michael. Not one bit does it. It does not diminish faith. It bolsters faith. It bolsters faith because I'm not narrowing God down to I have to wear a beard all my life. I'm free. I'm free for the Lord to deal with me in my circumstances. If it's more glorifying to God, if I went to a land where all men had beards, I'd grow me one. And if I went to another land that didn't, I could shave it off. But this guy can't, because, see what I'm saying? So Lord, help us today. I hope the Lord really gives you the burden of this message. The importance of what the Lord said. The Lord said. Do you know that it is this powerful? Do you know that everything that we see and know, if I'm wrong, you tell me, but was what he said? Is that right? Isn't all creation simply spoken? I'm going to tell you, that's weighty. That's weighty in importance, that God, all he did to create was speak. And when he speaks to us, it's as sure as creation is. It's as sure as the throne is. That's how sure his word is. Let's handle it with much care. And you pray for me.